Okay, we are. Where are we? In Parakei. Pasuk Yadalit, I think we said last. So, Naaman. His servant finally convinced him that it's kedai for him to try being Taibel in the Yarden. And he did it. And lo and behold, Vayosha Besarik is Sarnar Katoin Vayithar. Vayosha Belisha Likim Vasit Tazavav. So he returned to Elisha. Who became Machaneo him and his entire entourage? Vayavoy Vayamay Lufana. Remember last time when he came to Elisha, he stood by the door. Let Elisha come out to me. Elisha ignored him. He was not a happy camper with that. Here, Vayamay Lufana. He went in and he stood in front of Elisha. Vayomer. And he declared, Hineno Yodati. Now I know. Ki Ein Elikim B'chol Aretz Kim B'Yisrael. There's no other power in the world. No other God in the world can be Yisrael, only in Klal Yisrael. V'yata now kafna bracha me'et avdecha. If you remember, he brought money and he brought clothing, he brought a whole bunch of stuff as a present for the Navi. So now he said, take something. Now, the Malvim says that the beginning of this pasuk leads up to the end of the pasuk. Why is it that he had to make this declaration? Hineinu yadati keina lekim b'chalarskim b'Yisrael v'yata neo kach navracha. Says the Malvim, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to take a present from a guy. B'yom Eidai. B'yom Eidai, Aleph Yud Dalet Vav, means on his holiday. The Avodah Zarah, these have these holidays for Avodah Zarah. And there are many halachas, the whole beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah talks about this, of different things revolving around the Geisha holidays. You're not allowed to interact certain ways with them, buying and selling, different things. And one of them is taking a present, and the reason is because we're afraid that if you take his present, he's going to be so happy that he was able to give you a present, and he's going to run to his Avodah Zarah, and he's going to be Maida, and he's going to thank and bench his Avodah Zarah because you were Mekabel his present. So, accepting a present from a guy, B'yom Eidai, on his holiday, or any time where there is a real strong suspicion that he's going to go and say thank you to the Avodah Zarah. For example, someone who is so sick, and now he gets a refuah, like Naaman, it would be utter to take a present from them. So Naaman declared, I'm not Avodah Zarah anymore. Hineinu yadati, I am now being kaifer in Avodah Zarah. There's no other God in the world except in Klal Yisrael. So therefore, says to Elisha, V'yata, now, what's now? Now that I was kaifer in Avodah Zarah, there's no chashash, there's no suspicion anymore of me thanking my Avodah Zarah. I don't believe in it anymore. So now you can take a present for me, from me. Yeah? Well, the guy is not allowed. First of all, it's like this neighbor. And say, it's Vavera. Guy's not allowed to believe in Avodah Zarah. What's this to believe in Hashem? So you don't want to do anything that brings him. It says you're not allowed to make a partnership with a guy. Because you might have to swear to Avodah Zarah. There's a lot of halachas, not so negab is manazeh, but necessarily, but in the old days, the Avodah Zarah, there are a lot of halachas that were negab. Now, so that is what he was saying. Now, the Medrash in Devarim says that there were different madregas of people through history who were maida in the Rabbeinu Shalala. For example, in this week's parsha, Yisrai, the first example the Medrash gives, Yisrai, the lashon of the Medrash is Nosan Mamish Bavaydazara. He made it as if Avodah Zarah is something. Shenemar, what did Yisrael say? Atoyadati, ki godo Hashem mikol Elohim. That Hashem is the biggest of all the gods. What does that sound like? Shmashma, there are other gods, and Hashem is just bigger than all of them. So in his words, it wasn't so clear the distinction of Avodah Zarah to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Medrash continues and says, Naaman said, Atayadati ki ein Elohim b'chol ha'aretz, or ein Elohim b'chol ha'aretz perhaps. There's no other power or God in the land. What about Bashamayim? He didn't talk about Shemayim. Maybe in Shemayim there are other gods.
What does it mean, Motim Hashem? They think of there's other gods?
What does it mean, what?
Rabbi Gru said there were, in history, there are different people that were Mota Hashem.
They admitted that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but there were different ways of saying it, and in the way they said it, it was Mashma, how. I don't know how intense, so to speak, their hakara of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was. Then Rachav came along, not in this order, obviously, but Rachav said, Hashem Melikim, Hu Elikim, Bashamayim Mimal, Valoret Mitochas. Rachav took it a step further, and she said the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the only power, not just Baaret like Naaman said, but even Bashamayim Mimal. And Moshe Rabbeinu took it as far as it could go, and he said, "Ki Hashemu Aleikim, Hashemayim Varzachat Ein Oid." Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Ein Oid." He took it to the next step. There's nothing else but the Rabbanu Shem. Not just Hashemayim Imah Avolars Mitachas. The lesson of the Medrash is even Bechalol Eishalaylam in the rest of the universe. All there is, Einoid, is nothing but the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the Medrash ends off and says, Tenula mipri yadeha. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, testified about me that Einoid, I will testify about you, who I come Nabi Oid v'Yisrael k'Moshe. That's Tunula Mipri Yodeh. From what she gave, give her some of her own fruits. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Einoid, Hashem testified about him also. Einoid, will he come Navi Oid? There was no other Navi be Israel. So these are different madrigas of Akara Bashem. And the Medrash uses Naaman here is one of them, higher than Yisrael, under Rachav and Moshe Rabbeinu, that he said, Ki Ein Elohim B'chol Ha'aretz.
Why was Yisrael lower than Naaman?
Because Yisrael sounded like, even in this world, he says, He got the Hashem Mikol Elohim. They're all here, and Hashem is just the biggest of them all.
I'm saying as a person, he was on a higher level than Naaman.
That could be, but in this declaration, the declaration was not as strong as Naaman's declaration. Okay, so he said, please take, Kachna Bibracha Meisavdecha, take, Vayoymer. So Elisha said, Chai Hashem Asher Mazi Lufonov Imekach. He made a shvu, I'm not going to take anything. Vayivtzar boy lo kachas, and he nudged him and he hucked him that he should take it. Tried to convince him, Vayimoin, and he continued to refuse. Why did Elisha not want to take anything from Naaman? So Rashi says, Shedmei avoidus gilulim uravim boy. There was money of Avodah Zarah mixed in. Naaman, you know, he was an Avodah Zarah until about 10 seconds before. So everything he had was a mix. His own money, the things he had designated Avodah Zarah, things he got from Avodah Zarah, things he sold. There was the May Avodah Zarah were Ma'uravai, and therefore Elisha wanted to have no part of anything to do with Avodah Zarah. The Malbim says, L'shitasai, because last time we said that the Malbim asked, how was he allowed to offer his services to cure a guy? It's usher to cure a guy. So it was a special Hayra Hashah, special Heter for this time, Kedei L'Kadeshem Shamayim Barabim. So says the Malbim, since Minadin it was Aser, and it was only a Heter L'Fishah, Uvazeh Yefshah Sheikach. For that, his only Heter to do it was L'Kadeshem Shamayim, not for his own monetary gain. If you only have a Heter to do it, in halacha, if not it's Aser, L'Kadeshem Shamayim, you can't take money for that.
I don't understand that.
What don't
you
understand?
What does it mean? The
hatter
to take the money is
Makadashim. No, the hatter to heal him was only the Kadashim Shemaim, and therefore you can't take money, the Kadashim Shemaim.
I'm obviously
with $3
sheik,
the Kadashim
Shemaim.
Yeah, but they're not being Matar and Isser. Oh. Right? Here he was Matar and Isser. The act is something that's really Aser. We only allowed him to do L'Kadeshem Shemayim, so then to take money for that act that was only Mutz L'Kadeshem Shemayim, he can't do.
Why would a person be able to take money for...
Because you have to be able to earn money. Like for what? For other mitzvahs? Not so simple to take money for mitzvahs. Right? You're not able to take money to teach Torah. You're not able to take money to Dan Dina Torah. It's something called Tzchar Batal. Right, I have to make money somehow, and I could have been working, so you're allowed to pay me Tzchar Batala, but it's really not so simple. Mahu b'chinam afata b'chinam. It's really not so simple to take money for mitzvahs. Unless you're losing on the other side. We'll see also in Chumash a little bit when it comes to helping people with their loads. You're allowed to get paid in certain instances because if you're making, or even a Shavas Aveda really, the truth is if it's going to cost you more, you're going to lose more money in a Shavas Aveda than the other person's going to gain. It's not so simple, you're mechuyev even to do it. So, but there is the idea it's not so simple to take money for mitzvahs. The Rabag says, I'm sorry, some of Farshim say, before you get to Rabag, that it could become a Chilul Hashem. Because the Goyim may say, oh, why did the Jewish people do Maivsim? To get money. They just do it for the money. So therefore, it could come out of Chilul Hashem if he is seen taking money for this Maivis that he did. Not because for a Kiddush Hashem he can't take. Not Roy, rather because what people may perceive is happening here, the Goyim, it could come out of Chilul Hashem. And the Rabag says that a Navi should not take Schar for his Maifsim, not because of the Goyim's Chilul Hashem, but rather he himself might come to believe that he himself is the one who's doing the maifsim, and it's not really Hashem. When you start getting paid for your services, so you start thinking, oh, it's my services, I'm the one who's doing it. If we don't allow him to take money, hopefully it'll be easy for him to believe and understand that it's not him, it's all the Rabbi Nishalot. And especially the whole inyan of a maifis is... Why does the Navi do a Maifis? Is to be Mekadeshem Shemayim. To show, like we said before, Kiyesh Navi Bi Yisrael. Right? That was what Elisha said. V'yeda Kiyesh Navi Bi Yisrael. The idea is to say that there's a Navi, not because he's a sorcerer or a magician, a Navi of Hashem, who Hashem does his, he does the will of Hashem, Hashem does his will, however you want to term it. So therefore, if there's any way that it's going to be a Chashash, he might start believing it's himself, defeats the whole purpose of the Maifis, obviously, so therefore we don't allow him to take money. So therefore, Elisha refused to take any money. Vayomer Naaman. And Naaman said, Valoi. Rashi learns, Valoi is a Lashon Bakasha, Lashon Halavai. It's a Lashon of pleading. Halavai, you should take it. I'm not sorry, not you should take it. Halavai is a Lashon of Bakasha. He's going to ask for something here, Naaman. Valoi, a Lashon of Bakasha. Halavai, you should answer my plea. What is my plea? Yuta Nola Abducha, please give to your servant Masa Tzemed Pirodim Adama, the load of a pair of mules, Adama of earth. So Naaman is asking for a load of earth, ground, of dirt. What did he want this for? Because he wanted to go and bring it back to Aram and make a mizbeach there. And Naaman says, and he wants to fill up. He fill up the inside of the mizbeach with dirt. So mizbeach adam atasali, fill it up with dirt. So he wanted it to be, he needed dirt. And he said, because your servant, me, Naaman, I'm not going to serve avodah zarah anymore. Kim Lashem. So I want to make a mizbeach Lashem. So I need some dirt from Eretz Yisrael in order that I should be able to make a mizbeach Lashem. Now, since when did he need Rishus to take dirt from Eretz Yisrael? And what does he need Rishus for? Who's going to really care if he picks up a couple shovelfuls of dirt and brings them home? So the Radak says, he wasn't able to take it without permission. Rather, he did not want to take it without Rishus. Not that anyone will stop him, but if he doesn't have permission from the king and from the Navi, it may be considered gezeila. And to go make a mizbeach of Hashem out of something that's stolen, that's not really going to work very well. Hashem probably won't be too happy with anything brought on that mizbeach. So therefore, he asked Rishus. The Radak. The Abarbanel says that he didn't want just any dirt, he wanted dirt from Elisha's house. For that already he needed Rishus. To not take dirt from the street of Eretz Yisrael, you could ask the question. But for taking it out of Elisha's house, for that he needed Rishus. It's the practical answer to the question. Okay, so that's one way of, like Rashi says, Valoy is a lashon of halavai, a lashon of bakasha. So other mefarshim say, Valoy means, if you don't want to take any presents from me, at least, yutan li, give me something. You don't want, Valoy, if you don't want to take from me, that's okay. But now I want something from you, don't refuse that and give me something.
How can you do that?
What do you mean?
You should just cure him. Oh, if they're not going to accept my presence, then you give me.
No, not if you're not going to, even though you're not going to, but I want something from you.
Why do you want something from him?
Because he wants to serve Hashem, he wants a mizbeach. Right?
Like two favors.
He was a guy, you know what I mean? He wasn't from the Elisha and the Shonamas givers, club. Adarava, a guy is the exact opposite. Give. He's the opposite. The guy is opposite of a Jew. A Jew says, I want to give. The guy says, give me more. Okay. Shalach Shali, that's a guy. Okay. The Halshich says, a cute chap, and he says, Valoi, okay, you don't want to take presents from me. Because, you know, whatever the reasons we said before, why you don't want to take presents for curing me. So I have an Eitzah. I'll pay you for dirt. I need some dirt. And I'll pay you for the dirt. So you'll get whatever I wanted to give you, but you had a problem. It won't work in Rashi's, problem that's the Avodah Zarah, but all the other issues of the Maifis and the Refuah, all those things, Naaman said, I have a Drea, well, get out of it. You're right. Well, you don't want to take it for this? No problem. I want some dirt, and I'll pay you for the dirt, and you'll get what I want to give you. Now, what happened at the end? Did he actually give him the dirt or not? So, there's a pasuk in the middle here, but in pasuk Yud-Tes, it says, Vayomer le'lech l'shalom. He says, lech l'shalom, go. Go l'shalom. So, the Alshich, who just said that the whole scam, so to speak, of the Adama was just because Naaman just wanted to get Elisha paid, it was a way to give him money. So the Alshich says, he told him, Lech l'shalom, go, goodbye, I don't want to do this because I don't want your money. So the Alshich said that Elisha did not give him the dirt. He didn't give him the dirt. Giving the dirt would have, he would have given payment for it. And I guess the Alshich learns he wasn't really so serious about the Mizbeach, but it was just part of his whole eights over here to try to get the dirt to get him to pay, so the Alshich says he didn't pay it. The Abarbanel, he's not sure. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, who knows.
Abarbanel's
not sure what happened. He's Mesupuk. And the Ralbag says, he never said no, so he probably gave it to him, and once he gave it to him, he said, Lech L'shalom, go home. So you have three options here. Either he didn't give it to him, the Alshich says, the Abarbanel says, I'm not sure, and the Ralbag says, why shouldn't he give it to him? Didn't say anywhere he refused, so therefore the Ralbag says he did give it to him. Three options in what occurred.
So what would
Naaman
have wanted the dirt for
if
not for the
Mizbeach? No, it was for the Mizbeach, but he wasn't so dead set on the Mizbeach. So he'll figure out another answer for the Mizbeach. He didn't need, again, maybe he didn't need Elisha's Rishos. He could take in dirt from the local park, right? But he didn't need it. It was all at eight, so to try to get him to take money. What was the big deal with this dirt of Eretz Yisrael? So there's a big shaila in the Mefarshim, in the Paiskim, in different halachas. If Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is the dirt of Eretz Yisrael or the Makayim of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, if the dirt of Eretz Yisrael is taken out of Eretz Yisrael, is there any Kedusha in that dirt? And it seems to be a big deal. However, the Yerushalmi, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says that the Yarden, if the Yarden River took dirt from Eretz Yisrael and poured it into Surya, into Chutz La'aretz, the Lashon of the Yerushalmi is, if you plant in that dirt, you're chayiv in Maisris, you're chayiv in Chala, you're chayiv in Shvius. It's just like Eretz Yisrael. Now dirt from Chutz La'aretz that goes into Eretz Yisrael also becomes Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael gets it on all sides. Things that come in become Eretz Yisrael. When it leaves, it remains Eretz Yisrael. So, and it sounds like it also from Naaman over here. He dafka wanted Eretz Yisrael. What's Eretz Yisrael dirt? The minute it goes out into Haram, it's not Eretz Yisrael anymore. So it seems to be a little bit of a proof from Naaman. I don't know how much of a proof you can bring from Naaman, but that he was all excited about Eretz Yisrael. He can make a business now, you know, dirt from Eretz Yisrael. And everyone gets their little, you know, I don't know what, right, little package carried around with you. What?
They
have cans of air of here that to sell. Did anyone get smart from it ever?
Did anyone open it?
Yeah, the guy who made the money was the smart one, right? What are you doing there?
I know, I look like...
It's spritzes or it's just like empty?
You feel lovely.
It's empty?
Can of air.
Dirt is at least something you could see. Well, it is air. The question is who's there? I don't know if it has a beer there to sell, if it goes out, if it stays there to sell. Just by the dirt. I don't know about the air there to sell. Okay. Yeah? Yeah, the same idea. They were by a mace in Chutz La'aretz. The minhag is to put in a little thing of dirt from Eretz Yisrael. It's the same idea. Must have some kedusha to it. But if not, you could take right. There's no point. The mace is going into the dirt anyways, right? But there's the idea that it seems that the halacha is like that. That the dirt has a kedusha, and that is the same idea over here. Yeah. Okay. Okay, we move on. Now, he continues and he says, He just made a statement that he doesn't believe in Avodah Zarah anymore. La'davar hazeh yisplach Hashem lavdecha. But he said, there's one thing that Hashem needs to forgive me for. Bivaya doini beis rimayim. If you remember, I'm the general, I'm the hero of Aram, and I'm the right-hand man of the king. Now, Adaini, my master, the king, he's still an Avodah Zarah. He doesn't know about my whole transformation over here that just happened. So I'm the one who takes him to the base Rimon, to the base Avodah Zarah, Lishtach Avodah Shama, to bow down there, V'hunishan al Yadi, and he leans on me. I escort him there. V'ishtach Avesi base Rimon, and I bow down there in base Rimon. So when I bow down there, I really don't have much of a choice, so Hashem will have to forgive me. I don't really believe it. I believe in Hashem, but I don't have a choice. Now the Malbim says that he said twice in his pasuk that he bows, that he's going to bow down. What's the two bowings? So, the Malbim says that when his master, the Melech Aram, used to lean on him, so when the Melech Aram would go down to bow and he was still leaning on him, so what would Naaman have to do? He would also have to bend down towards Avodah Zarah. The Melech Aram is leaning on him going down, he bends down. So that's the first Hishtach Avesi. Now that Hishtach Avaya is really a Shvach Hishtach Avaya, because everyone sees, I mean, he's not even bowing down really. He just happens to be being schlepped down by his master who's leaning on him. But there is a concept of Maris Ayin. Chazal say you're not allowed to be in front of an Avodah Zarah and you got a thorn in your foot. It's to tie your shoe. You're not allowed to lean over and do it, because you know what you're doing, but everyone else, it doesn't look like you're being bowing down to Avodah Zarah. So here also, although he's leaning on him and that's why he's going down, he's not even really bowing, but there is a little bit of a Maris Ayin here. So that's the first Hishtach Aveiti, the first Aveira, so to speak, that he says Hashem's going to have to forgive me for. And that's why he says the pasuk starts off Ladavar hazeh yislach Hashem lavadecha. This thing Hashem will forgive me. Why will He forgive me? Because I'm not really doing anything wrong. This is the easy thing. It's the Maris Ayin thing. But then Bishtach Avayasi Beis Rimon, here he says yislach na Hashem lavadecha. It's like he's asking to be forgiven. Why is it not so simple anymore? Before it was Yislach, Hashem will forgive. So the Malbim says, because after the Melech Aram would bow down hanging on to Naaman, what did Naaman have to do? He also had to bow down. He didn't just go in as the escort. Melech Aram says, I bow down first, and then you bow down. And he was afraid that in Tatal Melech Aram, he doesn't believe in this Avodah Zarah anymore. That'd be probably the end of his career. And therefore, he's going to have to actually bow down to the Avodah Zarah. Now that's obviously a much bigger issue, to actually bow down to the Avodah Zarah. So on that, he's asking, Yislach na Hashem la'abdecha b'davar hazeh. Hashem should please forgive me for that also, because why? Because he should know that really, like I'm building a Mizbeach, and I'm really kaif for an Avodah Zarah, and I really don't mean it, but I'm doing it only Miyiras HaMelech. I'm afraid of the king. I'm afraid to stand up and say I don't believe in Avodah Zarah anymore. Says the Malbim, Uvenoyach Einoy Mitzuva Akidish Hashem. A Jew who's put in this situation is not allowed to bow down. It's Yaharig Val Yavar Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to, even if it's Pikuach Nefesh, to serve Avodah Zarah. It's Yaharig Val Yavar. So, what are you afraid of? The king? So you want Hashem to forgive you? You don't do it. He says, no, he's a guy. A Ben Nayach is not mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. He's not mitzvah to give up his life for this. Now really, this is a Gemara's question in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara poses the question, are B'nai Noach Chayev in Kiddush Hashem? Are they Mechuyev to give up their lives for their mitzvahs? Not for our mitzvahs, obviously, but their mitzvahs. Also, Avodah Zarah, Ritzicha, Gilui Arayos, they have those mitzvahs. Are they Mechuyev in Kiddush Hashem, which means to give up their life for those mitzvahs? So, one person in the Gemara says, well, I know that there are seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And if you tell me there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, that's an eighth mitzvah. It's not in my count. Seven and not eight. So obviously they're not obligated.
So it doesn't count then?
That's what one person in the Gemara says. The other one says, no, that's not a proof. Could be part of the Zayin Mitzvah B'nai Noach is keeping it under all circumstances. When we say don't serve Avodah Zarah, it means don't serve Avodah Zarah even if you have to give up your life. It's not an extra mitzvah. It's part and parcel of those mitzvahs. So you can't bring a proof from the number seven that it doesn't say eight.
There's separate ba'ath.
What?
There's separate ba'ath.
It is separate ba'ath, yes. What?
One of the six
reasons. Yeah, Benikdashti besides Bnei Yisrael, yeah.
Is that somewhere that has to be seven?
That's the Kabbalah, Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. We learn that from Sukkim. So the Gemara says, what is the Psak? The Gemara asks the question, what's the Psak? So the Gemara says, well, there's a Pasuk in Melachim Beis, Perek Hei, Pasuk Yutas, that Naaman said, I'm going to have to bow down to Avodah Zarah, Hashem should forgive me. Vayoymer Loi, what does Elisha answer? Lech L'Sholem, go in peace. Now, if he's obligated to give up his life, how could Elisha say, okay, Lech L'Sholem, it sounds like he agrees to the request of Yisrael Na La'avdecha. Must be, because Naaman is not obligated to give up his life. Now, Rashi says, ooh, slow down a second. Why would Elisha have to stop Naaman from doing this? Naaman's going to be over an Avera of not giving up his life. Why do you have to stop someone from doing an Avera? I don't know, why do you stop someone from doing an Avera? Who's that too? The Jew, you're not mechayev to stop people goyim to go give them tekacha. So Rashi says, what's the Gemara's proof here that he didn't tell him you're not allowed to do it? He's not obligated to give him tekacha. So Rashi says the proof is because he doesn't have to give him tekacha, but from the words lech l'shalom sounds go in peace. He could have just said okay goodbye or and not said anything. You should know better than. You are mechuyev to give up your life, but I don't have to tell you. You can do your averus. I'm not mechuyev to tell you. But he wouldn't have said the words lech l'shalom. Lech l'shalom means go on your way. Go l'shalom. That sounds like you're doing the proper thing. So the proof is from the words, not that he didn't necessarily answer him and tell him he's wrong, but that he gave him a positive send-off, lech l'shalom, says the Gemara, that's a proof that Ben Noach is not obligated in Kiddush Hashem. Okay, so that is a proof that is a proof that B'nai Noach and Amitul Kiddush Hashem, and that is the same thing like the Malvim said, that B'nai Noach is going with the conclusion of the Gemara, the Bnei Noach are not mechuyev mitzvah in Kiddush Hashem. Now, if you'll notice here, there is the word na is a ksiv v'loy kri. It's written, but we don't read it. The Yislach na There's a little star there. It says ksiv likri. It's one of those things that are written. Sometimes you have a kri and a ksiv. Here you have a ksiv, and you don't read it at all. Says the Chasam Sofer, why is it a ksiv likri? He says, very simple. There is a halachic shaila here. Is Naaman allowed to bow down or not? Is he obligated to give up his life al Kiddush Hashem or not? Does that have anything to do with Naaman's personal request, please forgive me? No. Please forgive me sounds like I'm going to do something wrong, and you know what? Try to get me forgiveness, or you forgive me. If the halacha is its mutter, you don't need forgiveness. If the halacha is its asr, there is no forgiveness. So therefore, he asked, Yislach na, that's what he asked. Please forgive me. I'm going to do something wrong. Please forgive me. So you should know, you don't read that. Vayomer leilech l'shalom, that when Elisha answered him, leilech l'shalom, is not because I'm answering your request. Rather, because the halacha is, you're not obligated to give up your life. You're allowed to bow down and not give up your life. So don't think that when I say leich l'shalom is because I'm telling you I'm answering your personal bakasha of yislach na. It's not what I'm answering. I'm telling you a halacha that has nothing to do with your personal request. The halacha is, it's mutter, leich l'shalom. You don't have to worry about it. So it's ksiv, it's written, because that's how Naaman asked it. The likri, but we don't read it. Because we don't read it, so no one should make a mistake and think leich l'shalom was Elisha's answer to his bakasha. Elisha didn't answer his bakasha. Elisha was telling him, you don't need to ask anything, because it is mutter. So therefore, that's why there is a ksiv here that is not a kri. So that's Vayayim Elalech L'Shalayim Vayelech Me'itoy Kivras Aret. And so Naaman left, and he went a certain amount. Kivras Aret is, Rashi says, Shem Mida Shal Karka. It's a certain amount. The Radak says it's the shear of a mill. And he left, and he started going back. And, you know, we'll stop over here, because it really starts, the chase starts a little bit of a winning. Okay, we'll continue next time.